from fourth grade a couple weeks ago, and Bill and I would get up before the crack of dawn, we'd drive to the beach, Dana Point, before there was a breakwater and before there was a harbor, there was great surf there. And Bill and I would go, and we'd get there before the crack of dawn, we'd build a fire on the beach, and we'd look at the stars, and maybe sometimes the setting moon. The dawn was starting to come up behind us, but as we looked out to the west, the glory of God's majesty and his creation and what he'd put in place at the creation of the world was there. And every time there was something mysterious, something beautiful, and something wondrous. And yeah, there's constellations that other people before us have named, but there are other stars and other areas and groups of stars that we had named ourselves and became very precious to he and I over the years. And God never changes. It's just there for us to witness and to glorify and to give him thanks and praise for. And it's what we do. And then we go out and catch wonderful waves. And sometimes this was in the wintertime, and this is before wetsuits. And we'd get back to the fire, and we could get close enough to get warmed up again to go out again. And it was just such a glorious time and such a period of just wondrous love. And in today's gospel, we hear the love of the Lord. But before we get into that, I want to put some context to this. And before we read this, just before, is the Genesis, if you will, or the genealogy, as we all call it, of Jesus. And it's from David, or from Joseph's perspective. In Luke, we hear it from Mary's perspective. But it's really, the Greek word is Genesis. Not the Genesis of the beginning of all things, where Jesus was and is and created all things, but it's a genesis of the birth, the rebirth, if you will, of Jesus. Jesus coming as man. And so in there we hear, and we kind of read that, and we just all these a bunch of names that we don't need to know, but what the importance of that is, we do need to know because it shows the genealogy or the genesis of Jesus all the way from Moses through David to Jesus Christ. And in there it says, you know, Jacob, the father of Joseph. And then it goes, all of a sudden it changes, and it says, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. All the way through, it's father of, and then all of a sudden, the husband of Mary, from whom Jesus was born. And we should take note of that and realize the importance and significance of that and the fact of the lineage of the Son of Man being Jesus, who was born of Mary and who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way, and I'm going to read the first two verses, but I'm going to leave out a word. And because most of the people in the town and in the area where Jesus was born didn't have advantage of the dream or the vision that both Mary and Jesus and Joseph heard. So now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, you just heard those words. What a scandal. Think about that. In the time of Israel and the time of Jesus' birth, all of a sudden, they've been betrothed. And that's more than an engagement. In Deuteronomy, when you're betrothed, you're called each other husband and wife because you're committed to each other at that point. So it's more than an engagement. It is a commitment that you've made or that the parents have made for their sons and their daughters to be committed to one another. And any time during that time, they could break that off. But the way to legally end it was through a formal divorce at this time. But if there was any unfaithfulness, and the reason they waited a year was so that people would know that Mary was faithful. But during that time, she was found to be with child. And so what a scandal. And think about that for a minute. Both Mary had had a visitation, and the angel says, you're going to, and she said, how could it be? And Luke, let it be with me as you've said, Lord. She was obedient to the Lord and his will. Now we hear Joseph's side of the story. And Joseph was going to do the honorable thing. He loved Mary. He wanted to be with her and be his wife forever. And forever is forever. And yet, she was found with child. Well, the law says you need to divorce this woman. Actually, the law says you need to stone this woman because she's unfaithful. But he said he's a merciful guy. He's a guy of pure heart. He doesn't want to hurt Mary. He doesn't want her to be harmed. So he resolves to himself to, what? To divorce her quietly. So he's going to divorce her quietly. And so he's mulling these things over. It doesn't say this, but I don't know how you have a dream if you don't go to sleep. And so like most men, guess what? Joseph goes to sleep while he's mulling these things. You know, we have some big decision to make, and it's just too much, and so we just shut our eyes and we just start snoring and go to sleep. That's what guys do. That's what I do. And in the morning, it'll all be better, right? Sometimes. Anyway, so he's sound asleep, and as he's sleeping, I can just imagine the dream. You know, he's tossing and turning and fits, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord comes to him. Boom! You know, you're kind of awake, but you're not. But man, you're listening. And he's probably seeing and hearing. And he hears what the angel says. And then he wakes up. The angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife. For that which was conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did exactly as the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He took his wife, Mary. Can we all listen and hear? Are we God's Kairos people? Born at this time and in this place and in this community and in our neighborhoods to hear and be obedient to the Lord as he speaks to us? The Lord speaks to us in many, many ways in our lives. But are our eyes open and our ears open, and is our heart open to his word? And today, many years ago, Joseph's heart, eyes, and ears were open, and he was immediately obedient to the Lord. May we all be as obedient as he and Mary were at this time. Because the Lord is speaking to us today. Behold, how does the Lord speak to you? So that your faith is overflowing to be obedient to him and his ways. And in this gospel reading today, we hear how Joseph was a good man, pure of heart, like salt. And light visited him and told him the Holy Spirit had overcome Mary. He didn't question it. He believed that the Spirit of God mysteriously had knit together in Mary's womb the Son of God. And he did exactly as the angel told him. He took her as his wife, ignoring all the scandal, ignoring everything else, took her into his home. And as we get into chapter 2 and the rest, he was obedient to the angel and to the Lord and did all the things that the Lord commanded them to do, to the point where he came from Nazareth and he was born in Bethlehem, and all of these happened because both he and Mary were obedient to the Lord and listened while they were on the way, and Jesus was born. And he came to be with us. He is the incarnate God. He is the Son of God, and he is the Son of Man. And here we see how that happened, and it's only by the mystery of Christ and of God Himself, and how the Holy Spirit brought Jesus, who was in His glory, came down to earth, was knit together in Mary's womb, and born as a child, and grew up to speak and to model for us the way we are to live our lives. So light came into the world and manifests itself to us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ manifests Himself in and through us each and every day. But we have to receive the greatest gift ever given. And we have to open that gift, take it in the fullness of the love that was given, receive it, and as we receive it, do what Jesus did, and that's give it away. The precious gift of love that was given to us in the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, at His birth and throughout His life and His death and resurrection, is the gift that we cherish. But it's not for ourselves. It's so that we might give it away to others and pass it on to others with light and with joy. We've been through hope, peace, joy in the Advent wreath and the Advent candle. You've got the candle of hope. You've got the candle of peace. You've got the candle of joy, which is the pink candle. And then you've got the candle of love, or the angel's candle, which we read today in the giving and the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, who dwells among us. He came to save His people. Joseph is, in Hebrew, is the same as Jesus. It means God saves His people. He came to save us from our sins. In the Collect today we read, you know, our sins are overbearing and are burdensome, and we struggle with those in the race that we're given to run. And yet, Jesus came to deliver us from our sins. And not from ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. See, in His birth, He came to recreate the world, the genesis of the world, in new form and a new heaven and a new earth. And He gave us that gift so that now we can live in His kingdom, because it's come near. It's more than near. When we believe that Jesus is who He says He is and did what He said He did for us so that we might have life now and forevermore, His kingdom is in us. And His kingdom we are called to share. Because in this small section we just read says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And Jesus, God saves. You have the name of Jesus, the name of the Son of God, but you also have His mission. God saves. He saves us to save others, and He's charged us to do that. So we should be full of that joy, and that joy should be ever-present in us, in the fact, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of sickness, regardless of anything else in our lives, and the course we're on, yeah, there's stuff happening. But joy comes straight from the Lord. It doesn't depend upon our circumstances. It comes straight from Jesus. And so in the depths of our pain and suffering, we can always look to the cross, we can always look to Jesus and know and touch that joy that He's given us by His grace, so that we can spread that joy and love to others. And let me tell you, in D.C., after burying my friend, my sons, and you people all probably do this too very well, you do Uber and Lyft and all that stuff. Well, I've never done this before on my own. Barbara used to do all this stuff. Anyway, and so all of a sudden, I'm Ubering, and I get this Uber driver. And I get this Uber driver, and he's from Nigeria. And I'm in my collar and all dressed up, coming from the funeral. And he says, "Are you Catholic or Anglican?" And I said, "Does it matter?" And he said, well, yes, I'm Anglican. And I said, well, I happen to be Anglican. And he says, well, I go to the Anglican Church of Nigeria and in Maryland. And we got to talking, and he sang, and then he said, let me sing you a song. He's in the choir, and he has a beautiful voice, a cappella. He starts singing to me, and then he starts telling me about his family. And so we stopped, and we prayed for each other. And we prayed. And God is so good because he sends us divine appointments to be blessed and to be a blessing. When we listen, we open our eyes and see, hear what's said. Sometimes you don't necessarily need to hear exactly the word said, because sometimes the word spoken can be kind of abrupt. But you need to listen to what the intent is and what's behind those words. And sometimes people speak things when they are really in need of help and they need prayer. And you need to be that prayer and offer that prayer up and speak to them in what the Lord tells you to speak. And this man was so blessed. And so I found my anointing oil, and afterwards I anointed him and we prayed. And I said, I hope I'm making you late for your next Uber appointment. But he said, thank you so much for the blessing and for the gift of friendship. And we still touch to each other. And so it was a divine appointment that was meant to be. And he lifted my spirits and I lifted his spirits. But it was a blessing and a gift from God to share our faith together and to encourage each other. And then for the rest of the day, all I could do was smile and be a blessing to others and pray for other people. And I was encouraged to do so. And so we all need to be encouraged in that manner. As we come together on Sunday and we worship together, we should be filled with that joy, that peace, and that love, and that hope that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And know that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He created all things, and He is in the process of recreating all things to glorify Him. And we've been asked to participate in that by being a blessing to others. As it says from Abraham on, we are called to be a blessing to those he sends across our path. And as we are blessed, to bless others. So let us, during the season of Advent, not only prepare our hearts to fully receive and accept the fullness of God's grace, mercy, and love, but also to share that joy, that peace that passes all understanding, that hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and love others as He loves you and I. We need to listen to understand. We need to listen as Jesus listens. We need to love as Jesus loves us, and love others as Jesus loves us, so that they might know that the kingdom of God is near, and come to the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So let this Advent and the model of Joseph and the stars at night, when you look up and you see the moon and the stars and the wonders of their creation, and let all the majesty of God fill you to overflowing, so that when He manifests Himself to you and through you, you can manifest Him to others by sharing the greatest gift you've ever been given. It's the love of our Lord and Savior and His grace, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and manifest Him. Amen.